feeling the pressure of fall? Is that what you said?
Fall semester coming up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the conference?
Great.
It was great. It was my first time there, and I was kind of disappointed that it was great. So I can only afford one conference, and now I have two that I like. Speaking of the conference, maybe this will come up as we talk more, but after our presentation, Jennifer Kaplan talked to us a little bit, and she mentioned that Sharon already had some themes that she came up with from her study.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, us coming up with different themes, it might be wise to look at what she has and see where our stuff fits in with that.
But I thought we already did that, because I remember in the two articles we read, she did identify which themes specifically she was using each of the questions to go after.
Mm-hmm. And what Jennifer was saying was...
that big, long paragraph of misconception?
Yep. And Jennifer offered that maybe if we're not coming up with anything new, then our research has concurred with that, and we need to go a step beyond that, and maybe that would be where we would look at an intervention. So from our pilot study, yes, this is what we saw, that we were coming up with the same themes from our students that Sharon had shown evidence of. So in that we concur, and then from there, what can we do that's different? Because otherwise, her first reaction was, oh, well, this has already been done before.
Okay.
We talked a little bit last time about maybe coming up with, a couple things. Where we're going to go from here, are we going to do something in the fall or are we going to do something in the spring? And then if we are going to do something, is it going to include an intervention? I think that's kind of where we left off last time, and then... we're going to look at our methodology and just kind of document some things as we went along.
If I'm quiet, it's because I'm writing.
Okay. Should we have, it seems to me we should perhaps have the intervention in place before we do another study? I mean, because if we do another study, we're replicating, you know, pretty much the same thing. We've already tested that twice. I don't know. That's my opinion. What do you think? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Nirazu, but when Nirazu and I, we had lots of time to chat about this at the conference, and we thought maybe that we should take the time now this semester to maybe firm up our literature review, to decide upon an intervention, and to really define clearly our objectives, our course of action, and then put that into place in the spring. Does that sound about right, Nirazu?
Yeah, so we can be clear what the intervention is and what, you know, agree on what it will look like, how we'll put it into practice in our classrooms.
Right.
Rather than kind of rush through it and not have a clear picture of what has changed or what the treatment was that might have caused the change.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And we have to be really careful about all doing it as close to the same way as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are already so many differences between the four institutions that, you know, is it attributable to the differences in our institutions and students and their background, or is it because of the method of teaching?
Right.
Okay.
I think that sounds like a plan in terms of deciding on the intervention that we're going to use and then next spring incorporating. Oh, okay. Maybe I missed that next spring discussion because was that at the last meeting when I wasn't present? I don't remember hearing that discussion on the recording. But I will not have any classes next spring that I can actually do any sort of intervention in. Is that going to be problematic? Are we just doing one semester of intervention?
Hmm.
Actually, I'll be teaching online that semester.
Oh, really? I mean, it seems like it would be nice to have something for U.S. COTS, though. That's
right.
The only reason why I would think we would want to do something in the spring anyway. But otherwise, I mean, it would be great if we had all four institutions, I think.
Well, I will be in London, and in London I'm scheduled to teach a general studies course, so I will not have access to any statistics courses next spring.
Is it conceivable that we would have our intervention kind of the details worked out in the fall and be able to do this in the winter?
Our winter term is January. We are in semesters.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Well, I'm always teaching this class, so just let me know when you want us to do it.
How many students do you typically have in the spring?
Me?
Aisha.
If I was here on campus, I would have 60 students.
Oh, so that's the big...
I'd have two sections.
And Jennifer, you're teaching it online only?
Well, I don't know yet. I was supposed to, I will be teaching all statistics courses, but it will be for the liberal arts, the math science majors online, and then I'll be teaching a Stat 2 class.
Oh. So that would leave me and Nierazzo. How many students do you have, Nierazzo?
I typically about 20.
And I have, depending on how many sections, 50 or 100.
But
I was thinking that I might offer some of the to teach. Yeah, this is. But I'll probably offer one of my colleagues their class just so I can have access to their students.
Yeah, I mean, I can go into others if because then if we're going to do an intervention.
Is one iteration of an intervention sufficient? To establish, whatever we're trying to establish, like legitimacy of the intervention method.
Oh, I mean, replication is always good.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we could try it.
Since we're working with samples that are not, that are not random. So if we can do it several times and see a pattern of results, that will make our case a little bit, that much stronger to say the intervention does have an impact.
That's a good point.
I mean, let me
try to be clear on what's happening. So in the fall, we're still going to go ahead and administer the instrument, correct?
I thought you said
in the fall would... work on finishing off our lit review. And coming up with detailing out our intervention.
Okay.
Is that okay with everyone?
So the pilot has really become our actual study then.
Doesn't have to, but we're kind of at a crossroads now, I think.
Okay.
The pilot
direction.
Kind of gave us a picture of what we're working with. So when we go forward to do the intervention, we're kind of using the information that we have from the pilot, that there is some misconception. There are some misconceptions that we need to address. And the lit review has shown us that, yes, they are, and here are some ways of addressing them. And we're picking this way to do it,
okay,
see if it actually does make a difference.
I guess where I'm getting caught up is in using
the
pilot, because if we're going to be doing an intervention now, I'm thinking, well, are we going to pilot that intervention, to see if we run into any problems? So maybe I'm just thinking too much of a complex way.
So what I think I hear you saying is that we would do another, that you're suggesting we might need to do the study in the fall and then pilot an intervention?
I'm just trying to get a clear sense, of what was decided on. I did listen to the the tape, but somehow I guess I didn't understand.
I don't think we really.
No, I didn't understand some of the things that we were deciding on.
We hadn't decided yet.
Yeah, there wasn't anything like that. I think that Jennifer and Yarasa were throwing around ideas since they were together and had a chance to work on it.
Yeah, it occurred to me after, you know, it's nice at the conference where you can have an objective third party look at, you know, what you've just presented and say, oh, okay, well, this is what I see you guys doing, and, you know, have you thought about this, this, and this? So it was nice that we could hear that kind of feedback. That was just one person. You know, certainly we can do whatever. She was offering suggestions, which was very helpful on her part.
Okay, so in terms of intervention, are we talking about pedagogical approaches?
Mm-hmm. We're thinking of maybe it can be something like a certain activity that we do to illustrate a concept, you know, a way of teaching that particular concept.
Uh-huh.
So it could be an activity, an applet, a simulation.
A
we would have to decide
activity.
Upon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It occurred to me, though, as again, Yarasa and I were talking about this, she was sharing some activities that she had done, and I was sharing some that we had done, and I thought, well, we have already used those, and I think we maybe need to decide on something that we have not used yet, because if we're already using that, then...
And it's still not...
Good point.
<That's> already... Apparently it's not working. Or maybe it is helping, but not as much.
It could have been worse, maybe.
I'm going to go with that, Nirantu.
I have to tell you guys, I would be thrilled if we would just focus on finishing up the literature review, identifying interventions, and defining clearly our objectives, if that was what we did in the fall, because I have a very full plate at the moment, and I feel like we've made, like, huge progress as it is anyway, you know.
Well, we...
I don't know if that is going to hold up anybody who's, I think, you know, has tenure issues or whatever, other things like that on their plate.
I don't think any of us had tenure issues.
Okay.
Like, I'm up to tenure, but my research is not really directly,
okay.
It's not just this. So I don't need a paper out of it immediately or anything like that.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I think that maybe we need to catch up to where we are with the data. And, you know, we have read the articles, but we haven't solidified that literature review.
Right.
Which is, I think it's a tall order. That's I think, well, for me anyway, I'm not a writer, so that's tough for me. I can give you all sorts of bullet points, but if I got to write an article, that's... takes a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm fine with that, with what Georgia suggested.
I think too. Last time we did not come up with you know, exactly what we were going to do, but Bob brought up some questions. I actually underlined them because I printed out the notes from last time. He did say that as far as the methodology, he reminded us to document everything we do, whose classes, what terms, et cetera, go overboard and then pare back on it, look at the differences amongst our institutions. If we settle upon a common approach and get similar results, then we have a pedagogical approach that doesn't depend on the differences among the instructors. So there, that's where we're looking for that common approach. And also he says that he suggested that we identify the main characteristics of our approach and modify it for the different populations if need be. We should think about the characteristics of the pedagogy and why we think it'll affect the students in a certain way. We have information about good ways to teach p-values. We have to come to a point, or we should be coming to a point, where we state what constitutes an understanding, what outcome do we expect, and let's suggest a set of activities that will be what we all do.
Right.
And again, I'm just quoting from the notes from last time. I thought maybe that would maybe direct our conversation for today. I think I'm the moderator. I just took over that role.
Oh. So you're doing great.
Go ahead.
Characteristics of our intervention, some of that might actually come from the lit review. It's my section that I'm working on, because I'm looking at all the things that people have suggested as ways of improving statistical literacy. So I've been kind of looking at it that way in thinking of my conclusion for that section, like what are some things in common that these different people have said? Mm-hmm. What are the characteristics that their interventions that they've looked at, what do they have in common? And then maybe we can go from there and say, okay, so these are the things that, you know, when you look at the literature together, these are the things that are said to be effective. So whatever intervention we come up with should at least have those qualities as well.
Okay.
Is there anything that you came across specifically in your answer? I know you had mentioned something about computers being a big aspect of that. But anything else that you saw that might...
A lot of the things are not, you know, we've kind of heard before. So, yeah, there's the use of technology so that you can do simulations and those kinds of things. Basically, it's to have students experience statistics rather than just, you know, learn it, but actually do learn by doing statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking through my notes here for the list. And in a way, forcing them to think. So introducing, one of the articles talked about introducing conflict to what they believe, so that they have to kind of look at what they believe and question it. I equated that to Vygotsky's zone of proximal development, where you kind of guide them along. You know, there's a target, they're not quite there yet, but you put them in a situation where you can support them to get there. I'm using my hand so you can't really see what I'm doing. It's so much clearer if you can see my hand.
Skype.
Yeah.
Did they mention anything specifically like a Rossman chance activity from a workshop statistics or?
Yeah, a number of them used the atlas that Alan and Beth have come up with.
My first choice, and this is just my opinion, would be in-class activity. Where they're either looking at data and coming to conclusions about it, or they're looking at a case study. The applets are nice, but I think there's a lot of different ways that they can be taught. And I mean, I think applets can be tricky.
There was a recent webinar, a cause webinar, about using applets, and one of the points that they made is that, I mean, we're used to, you know, we know what everything is already when we look at it, but somebody who's fresh, like a student who's just never seen the applet before and doesn't really know the concept behind it, can be a little overwhelmed with all the different parts. And I'm thinking in particular of that Reese's piece is one that Rossman and Chance has. You know, it takes a while to figure out what all the different parts are, and especially if you don't really know what a proportion is, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's the normal, or... You know, we're doing the normal distribution, and so we would have to think about ways, if we decide to use an applet like that, that we could familiarize them with, you know, what to expect. I mean, I don't ever use any applets, so this is actually more directed towards myself. You know, I don't know exactly how would we present that, so, or how do you present it, you know, when you're teaching with an applet?
Yeah, I think they definitely cannot be kind of standalone things. But what Jennifer was, the way you presented it made me think of what Bob and Joan and, you know, they're all working on with the Catalyst curriculum. Having an activity that makes them think without really thinking statistical terms, and we can tell them the terms afterwards, after they've experienced it and they've done this, they've done what a statistician would do, or what that.
Can I just jump in for a quick sec? So it sounds like we started with trying to understand how students understand p-values and statistical significance. And we did the pilot where we came up with the themes in terms of the misconceptions that they had, correct?
Yeah.
And now we're jumping to, well, if we use these specific methods, would it clear up their misconceptions? Is that kind of what we're doing?
Right.
Well, we would use the same instrument after the intervention. So we're still taking that same instrument that we're using. We might give it the first day of classes, then we give it the first day before, or the day before we start teaching p-values, then we teach p-values, but now we introduce this intervention with them. And
I guess to me, we have then basically changed our question because we're not really interested in understanding, in figuring out how students understand p-values. We're trying to figure out now whether or not this method is a more effective way of teaching p-values. And I guess
if maybe we clarify, if they have the same types of misconceptions after the intervention.
Yeah, but but you see, the problem then is that for a lot of these students, when we give them the pilot to establish, when we give the pretest to establish a baseline, most of them have not seen p-values. So would we not then automatically expect to see that their scores, their responses after instruction would be higher? And to me, when you see this result, then that's just going to be not specifically because of a specific instruction mode, but because they were taught the material. Now, if we had a course that was doing traditional, whatever traditional means, in terms of teaching p-values, and a course where we had this intervention and we were comparing it, then we can see if there was this difference is due to that specific intervention. Am I not understanding what's going on?
Yep. But another thought was, if we did this fall, do the pre and post the way that we had been doing it, and then in the spring introduce the intervention and then compare the results from fall and spring.
Okay.
Same teacher, same instructors, same institutions, different sets of kids, but you know, that's not going to be controllable.
Well, okay.
Okay, so that was just a thought.
We'll do pre-post, quote-unquote, in a traditional class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a thought if we wanted to do a comparison. Otherwise, we can go on the other pathway of let's stay with exactly what we were doing. And are we seeing any new themes at all? If we are seeing new themes, we might want to branch off in that direction and stay on course with what we were doing.
And I guess that's where, again, I have confusion because I didn't think that identification of the themes was the end point of our research. I actually thought that we were then going to drill down into why specifically they have those misconceptions,
right,
so that we can get to how they really understand p-values. I don't know, maybe it's because I was in New Jersey for summer. I seem to be totally off course in terms of what we're doing, but I do want to say that I'll go along with the majority in terms of what needs to be done. But I was really hoping that I would walk away from this getting some better understanding of how students understand p-values, so that I can try to get at those misconceptions directly.
So
So
how do you,
as opposed to walking away saying, well, if you teach this if you use this specific teaching strategy, you know, it will be better. It's like, okay, you think you have this particular misconception. Why? You know,
so what would
I
be
can
the next
attempt
step
to correct it? But that's fine. So it just sounds like to me like we're just shifting our question.
I think we're not shifting. I think we're just discussing possibilities from where we go from here. It's definitely nothing has been decided. We're just throwing out some ideas. So Aisha, where do you see, like, how do you envision that going forward?
Again, I thought once we have identified our theme that we would drill down into one or two of those themes.
Okay.
You know, so I thought this was going to be somewhat of an iterative process where, okay, here are the two main themes of the five or six that we want to look at because they're the most prevalent. Let's drill down now to see why these misconceptions are occurring.
Would that include continuing to give the same six-question instrument?
No.
Okay.
No, again, once we identify the two misconceptions, then we can, you know, try to target students to get our sample will become smaller and smaller. We try to get more information. But again, I'm not wedded to that. At this point,
I think we're
kind of majority with whatever the group wants to do.
I think it's consistent with what we, you know, identifying the theme,
mm-hmm.
and then saying, okay, so these are the misconceptions. And what I'm hearing Aisha say is kind of going down that path, which is what we talked about with the interviews, to say, you know, why did you come up with this? But I think the end point that we, you know, or where we want to head is, okay, so now we know how you understand this, so what? And that's where the intervention will come in. Like, how can we help you then, now that we understand how you, where your misconceptions come from, how can we teach better so you don't have those misconceptions?
But Nairaj, you said now that we understand where those misconceptions come from, but what point are we going to do that? You see, that's where I'm saying that's what we're missing. Because we're not looking to see where those misconceptions come from.
At this point, we're just saying we agree with Sharon's statements and her
right.
conclusions. Yes, these are consistent
misconceptions.
With, yeah. I looked up in Sharon's article. This was the second of her articles. I believe it's from 2008 maybe 2007. But for future research, she said that the ongoing literature review should examine extensions of the RPAS content domain to include reasoning about inferential topics such as confidence intervals and the relationship between power and statistical significance. RPAS could be further expanded by reiterating the methods used in the study. And it says one could append 14 inference-related chaos items to the RPAS scale and conduct a preliminary reliability analysis. Actually, that's different. That's the reliability. But she did say, you know, RPAS could be further expanded by reiterating the methods used in the study, which...
Yeah, but RPAS is designed to do what she's getting at, you know, identifying the specific misconceptions that students have. RPAS, as far as I understand it, is not designed to understand why students have those misconceptions. Is it?
But it sounds to me like when we get to a certain point, there are two paths we can go along, and eventually they come together. So once we identify the theme, we can say what Aisha is suggesting, maybe do interviews and focus on that. We can even have a paper that says this is why students have this misunderstanding. And then another path would be looking at okay, so they have these misconceptions. How can we as instructors do better so they don't have those? So I don't, they're not, eventually after the interviews, we can still get back to the path of how can we as teachers help the students understand better.
So that might even be something that's a year out. We might just want to focus back to what we were doing and extend it like Aisha suggested and finish that up first. And then if we wanted to continue it on, that's when the intervention comes in.
Okay, that sounds fine.
So maybe for ASCOS, we could focus on the why part and do interviews. So
I like that.
And find out, so we can kind of have a presentation of these are the reasons, which will just help us better as we come up with an intervention because we have a little bit more information.
So maybe we need to develop a set of questions that we all ask during the interviews. That would make it more consistent.
We can probably have a set of questions that we, and then, but the interviews will probably look different even for the same person with different students just because of how the conversation goes. But we can make sure that we have a set of key questions that we all make sure we address.
Yeah, we might want to think about questions that will, they'd have to be clear, concise, just to get at exactly what we're trying to understand.
Yeah. So maybe that should be on our action item thingy.
Our action plan?
You're coming up with those questions, how many questions do you want? Maybe three or four key questions, and then as we talk, as we interview the students, I'm sure other questions will come up, and that's fine, but as long as we've addressed the three or four key ones that we come up with. So we can have that on our things to do to come up with questions. And then maybe in the fall, interview some students, and we can present that in May.
Yeah. So the interviews would have to take place after the conclusion of the semester. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least after probably close to the. I always find it hard, like in the last week, because everybody's focused on exams and they don't really want to talk to you that much. So probably after they've covered, key values and that inferential statistics, and so they know what they're talking about.
So we would do the same as what we did last semester, or we would do a pre-post, or we're going to do, are we not using that instrument anymore?
I don't know if we need to do a pre-post because we're just trying to understand what they understand and how they're thinking about p-values.
But didn't you say you were going to go the other route first in terms of working with the intervention? So if you're going to have an intervention in the spring, you probably need some baseline data from a traditional class. No?
Oh, is that the pre-post you were referring to, Jennifer?
I think so.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood.
This time around, I'm just wondering if our pilot was, had established the themes and we're putting that aside, or we're continuing to use that six-question instrument to have them explain their answers and to then take this set of students through the same process with the interviews. I didn't do any interviews prior to this, so I don't have anything to compare that to. But should we do before we start teaching p-values, after we finish teaching the p-values, as I should mention, just to have that as data. And then
right.
I'm not so sure that we'd be ready in the spring to go ahead with that intervention. I'm thinking if we continue beyond U.S. COTS, then that would be more feasible. I don't know.
Well, I thought the original, I thought the plan was to do the intervention so that we can have something for U.S. COTS.
But if we do the interviews so we can get a deeper understanding of why they have these misconceptions, we can present those at U.S. COTS.
Right. And again, in my opinion, I don't know that we have to look at all of the misconceptions that they have. We can target
right.
one even.
Yeah.
And work through that.
That's true. And then we could perhaps identify those students that had that misconception
right.
and target them for interviews.
That's what I was
saying,
being the population will be smaller that we'll have to deal with.
Very small. Well, they'd have to agree to the interview as well.
Right.
That's the tricky part.
Is interviewing not part of your IRB?
No, the fact that the students may say they don't want to do it.
I guess when my students opt in, they usually opted in for the whole semester. Though I guess I've never had a student not want to do it, I guess.
Well, at one of the presentations that Jennifer and I attended, one of the gentlemen there was talking about how he was having a hard time having students agree to be interviewed. So it's something for us to consider that students may decide, especially if they have misconceptions, and they're aware that they don't really understand this, they not really want to be interviewed. So we might end up with those willing to be interviewed being the ones that know enough and are interested enough to talk about it. That's something for us to think about.
Is there another way to set that up besides having students, like the way I have my form set up is, it's anonymous unless they would like to be included in an interview and then they sign their name. Is there a better way to set that up so it's the other way around where it'll be confidential. It won't be anonymous. It would be confidential.
And unless you indicate you're going to be interviewed.
And you could be contacted for an interview. Unless
you indicate otherwise.
Well, you guys know that last time I did mine extra credit, and I think this year, because I've been working with our Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning, and what they're strongly encouraging us to do is make it as seamless as possible by actually simply incorporating the questions into the test itself. So that's what I will actually be doing this year, is incorporating the questions into the test. If we have to do if we decide we're going to use that instrument, that is.
Mm-hmm. But then how do they...
So then you then at the end just pick out those questions that relate to the instrument from the exam or whatever?
But it's no different from... And again, I guess this may be a little different where you guys are. Because I'm at a teaching university, I think our students are a little more accustomed to some things. So they would know that there are questions on the test that are kind of like when you're doing the SAT, right? You know, sometimes they tell you there are questions that you may or may not get graded on kind of thing. That's what they're proposing we do.
Okay.
But they won't know ahead of time what those questions are.
That's
you know, which question will count and which will not. But it will actually not be marked off if they get any of the questions wrong. So that's what they're proposing I do as opposed to giving it as extra credit, which is what I did last year.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do that because of our IRB limitations.
Right.
So.
And again,
I wouldn't be able to do it either way. I wouldn't be able to do it extra credit or... as part of the test. It has to not be. It has to not be part of their grade at all. And they have to realize, they have to know that their grade wouldn't be affected by it, by either participation in or not.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, you can. Oh, sorry. You
can, I just wanted to point out though that U.S. COTS is also a lot earlier this year than it was. You know, it was in the middle of summer session last time, and it's right at the end of the semester. Is it not? I can't remember the date.
It's May 19th, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know that I can't. I am limited to interviewing students after they have their grade. I can't interview them before. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Until they have to have their grade has to be decided for the semester.
So I wouldn't be able to. I mean, I could. I mean, I am willing to try, but I don't. I suspect I might not get a lot of responses after that, and it might be something I have to, do when the fall semester begins or something like that. So, but I could still participate in the pre and post test and, you know, all of that. Just wanted to.
But aren't we talking about doing this in the fall anyway, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be in the fall.
Oh, I thought we were talking in the spring. I guess I missed that.
And then,
we're thinking for the interviews about
U.S. COTS. Just present what we have.
Okay.
You know, present what we've done. By that time, I still think there is value in doing a separate paper that is just kind of a lit review type survey paper, which I think we started out working towards at some point. So we still have a deliverable product.
Okay.
For the research cluster.
I just want to remind everyone we have about 15 minutes left on the call.
Oh.
Okay, so what are we doing?
Yeah, this is what I have in my notes. I'm glad this is being recorded.
I know, me too.
So on the action thing to do, we're going to continue working on the lit review and try and finish that off.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come up with some questions that we can use for interviews with our students. So some core questions. And we're going to, in the fall, we'll do a pre-post of our instrument. And based on the results of that, we will select the students interview. Of course, if they, hoping that they will agree to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And we will present those findings to U.S. COTS. And then our next step would be thinking about an intervention to help them understand.
Our immediate step is to continue the literature review.
For the next call, that was my question as well. Just what's my deliverable for the next call?
Okay, so I think for the next call, maybe if we can, the lit review, of course, keep working on that. I don't know. Kind of hard to say how much of it you should have done because it's going to look different for the different sections.
So this is the literature review.
Also, maybe some questions.
Category,
maybe if we can each of us come up with three or four questions, then we can see what we have in common, or if we can then use that as our starting point for the four questions we'd use in the interview.
I think that the
three
interview
or four
questions
follow up.
Yeah.
For the follow-up interview?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good number. I don't know what.
But
shouldn't
we first decide which theme, because remember we said we're going to focus on just one or two of the misconceptions. So shouldn't we decide which misconception to look at before we come up with the interview questions?
Yeah. I mean, because don't we have several months to come up with interview questions?
Well, not months. Well, yeah, maybe months.
Maybe 2 months.
I just, you know, my concern, though, is that, I mean, I'm swamped, and it's the start of the semester, and I could see having time to work on the lit review, but in terms of, like, anything beyond that, you know, without, like, becoming stressed out of my mind, which, you know, I mean, I'll do it, but, you know.
And isn't that your normal state? That's my normal state of mind.
Because, I mean, we don't really have to give the pre and post until right before the unit, right? So, we have some time to come up with, and the interview doesn't happen until we're at the end. So I guess, Georgia, you're right. So literature review is where we're focusing?
And deciding on the themes that we want to choose.
Yeah, well, maybe we can just each think about it, so next time when we talk, we can definitely decide, you know, which one or two we're going to look at.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can we do time?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was wondering if we should do meeting time.
Right. So we're looking at, what is today? It's the 19th. So we're looking at mid-September, late September.
I'm free after 2 o'clock any day, 2 o'clock Eastern.
Any day, what week, Jennifer?
Any week.
Oh, okay.
Right now it's open.
Right now. But that may change.
That will change.
I know. But as far as teaching, I am finished at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
2 o'clock? 12:30 on Thursday.
On a different time to us.
I was in the gym when my husband said, you know, there's 3 hours difference. I had the wrong time because of...
Oh, no.
What time is 3 o'clock? And, that's how come work out. So what date were we looking at?
How about the 29th or the 30th? Or the 28th or the 30th?
Yeah.
Yeah, either one of 28 or 30th is fine with me.
Actually, 20th or 30th, because I teach until 2:05, so it will have to be after 2:30.
I have class Tuesday and Thursday at 5:30 p.m., so and as long as I'm done by 5.
Well, what about the 29th? What about the Wednesday?
During the day, I teach 3 classes back-to-back from noon to 5 p.m.
That's good for me either.
Okay, so Tuesday or so what on the 30th, what time are we looking at then?
Say 3?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay, so we're...
Okay, let me think. 3, that makes it noon.
Noon.
Is that okay, Narazu?
Yeah, 28th at noon works for me.
The 23rd, yeah, because there's another group that's meeting on Thursdays, as we found out this time.
Oh, wait, so the 28th is when we're meeting?
The 28th.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh,
28.
9:28
at 28 at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
Tuesday.
Eastern time.
It's Tuesday, the 28th, yeah.
Tuesday, the 28th, yeah. Tuesday, okay.
Same.
Does anybody know the roles?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I'm the organizer. Gadget is the moderator. Jennifer is the synthesizer, and Aisha is the recorder.
Okay.
Well, ladies and Bob.
I just want to let you know I really am still here.
Okay.
You guys are just you have to figure this you know work this part out by your you know for yourselves. This is exactly what you're doing and what you can do at your different institutions. So I thought I didn't hear any place to really jump in. So it sounds good to me.
All right. Well, good luck with week one, everybody.
Thank you, and thank you guys for your patience today. I just have a hard time catching up. So thanks, everyone.
It's a tough time, a tough part of the month for everybody. So
yeah.
All right.
See you later.
Yeah, ciao.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.